Charles Matthew, Hallelujah. From Dave Brubeck, another one of the tracks we're using to honor the jazz legend who passed away just before turning 92. What must it have been like in his family? A lot of music, to be sure. Families are not assembled by a casting call for a chorus line, though. Nope, we're stuck with the ensemble we were born with, the loony parents, the odd cousins, the rich siblings, and the eccentric uncle who hits the sauce maybe a little too hard as a rap sheet and a couple of tattoos to amaze little nieces and nephews at holiday time. Maybe the black sheep's even you in the family. In Mark Asnan's family, that person is his godfather, Charles Henschke. As a child, Mark looked up to him, but right around the time that young Mark began studying photography, he began to document his complex, troubled relationship with Charlie, and he continued to photograph Charlie for 30 years. Mark recently compiled some of those photos alongside diary entries, archival documents, psychiatrist reports, police arrest records, some beat poetry narration, and a new large format book called Uncle Charlie, and Mark joins us in the studio. Thanks for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.
This is an amazing trip inside a family, and it's almost impossible to convey for radio listeners the visual power of this book. Can you put me on your shoulder as you go into some of these extraordinarily intimate moments to really track this guy who meant so much to you and was also so much trouble to you?
Yeah, I think there was an incredible intimacy that my uncle gave me. I'm not sure even after 30 years why he gave that to me, like how I was chosen for him to share his whole life story, which he didn't do with other people. But there was – he was capable of having no barrier, nothing blocking us.
Who did he say you were when he would take you into these events, these crowd scenes?
You know, most of the time I was just his nephew. You know, in the 30 years, there was some moments he would introduce me as his nephew, who was a moron and who was just doing good because of his story. You know, he has like self-esteem issues. So there was definitely this dance of I was his spoiled nephew, that I was brought up rich, even though I came from a working class family in Brooklyn.
Tell me something about Uncle Charlie. How did you discover that he wasn't all that he seemed, and why did you make the decision to document him? And by the way, I should say, you can see a slideshow of Mark's photographs on our website, thetakeaway.org, and get a feel for exactly what we're talking about here.
He was never put forward as the black sheep. You know, you weren't told all the complexities of his life because my mother sort of left her past behind, but it was never, oh, you know, Charlie's the black sheep, he's not a good guy in many ways, because where I grew up, I looked up to him because he was a wise guy. He was tattooed. And I think my mother, my father, my grandmother all sort of taught me that you never turn your back on your family.
So he was a story of loyalty no matter what in your family. And also, he was the guy who had the street creds to a little boy growing up.
Right. Definitely. Like my father, even though he was a Brooklyn guy, was a professional. And where I grew up, everyone had an uncle who was connected. And my uncle really wasn't connected, but that's the fantasy I had as a kid, him being my godfather.
What were the amazing things that he showed you that were way outside what your parents would have allowed you to see?
When I was a kid once, he showed up and, you know, he was – somehow I got in his car and he opened the glove compartment and it was like a 38. And to me, like, that was – you know, that was the real deal.
How old were you?
You know, maybe 7 or 8 and – but it was all, you know, when I re-meet him in 1981, you see this was all like a fantasy. Like he was living the parallels of his father, who was a wise guy. But as a kid, that sort of – I embraced that fantasy of my uncle.
How, as you collected these photos and then as you curate them into this amazing book called Uncle Charlie – how did your sense of disillusionment over this guy who was completely amazing and myth-like, who then was seen as really a very tragic character and someone not the master of his world, but very much enslaved by that world. The context of these pictures must change over time for you.
Yeah, I mean, in the beginning, the project was more about poverty, with the great tradition of social documentary looking at poverty and in America. But as I got to know him and listen to those stories, like the text in the book is all his words that were recorded over the 30 years, I realized this was much more a complex story about his life. That started having me investigate like my own childhood and who my mother was. And then she came to deal with the fact that, yeah, Charlie's just not sort of famished, as we would say in Yiddish, but those stories are true. So it opened up like every day was a different level of intimacy with him. And, you know, over the 30 years, that dance, you know, sort of that's what you have in the book. I think it's important in my work that it's his story. It's not my words, you know, and that when you read it, you know, it's from his perspective of his life. I didn't live that life. Like, I observed his life later on.
What was the moment he scared you the most or took you someplace where you felt that he was most threatened?
I think early on, I wasn't at 18 really able to emotionally handle some of the things he was sharing with me. But the one right in the beginning was that he told me that I would come see him sitting by the window. Like that I used to see my grandfather, because his father had a stroke in 59 and sat in a window till 1969. And I would visit my grandfather sitting by that window.
So he said that his end would be the same as your grandfather's.
Right. And that really just blew me away.
Evoking, again, the family.
The family.
And a sense of power about being able to predict the future.
Right.
What would he think of this book? What does he think of this book?
When I gave him the book, the two things he shared with me is it's exactly what you said it would be.
Oh, what an interesting response.
Right. And he lives in public housing now in Bushwick, and the social worker in the building came and he said, "These are my words."
And he was proud of them.
Yeah.
So that's an artistic achievement there.
Yeah, and I mean – yeah, it's an artistic – yes, it is. And I also think for me, just as his nephew, his godson, he never got the chance to tell his story. And I'm glad I collaborated with him in a sense to give him that opportunity.
Well, that's great, great work. Mark Aznin is an award-winning photographer. His new book, Uncle Charlie, features 30 years of photographs he took of his very troubled, eccentric, interesting, complex godfather, Charles Henschke. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Who's the Uncle Charlie in your family? Do you have a black sheep? A listener in Brooklyn texts, "In my family, we take turns being the black sheep. My siblings and I like to refer to it as playing the game of parental chutes and ladders." And we want to welcome a new member of our Takeaway family. Former Takeaway engineer Tim Einenkel and his wife, Nomi, just welcomed their first baby, a healthy boy named Hero. Congratulations to him and to Tim and Nomi. We've all got a hero now. Coming up tomorrow, more family. Director Ed Burns joins us to talk about his movie, A Fitzgerald Family Christmas. I'm John Hockenberry. Thanks to Dave Brubeck. This is The Takeaway.
The Takeaway is supported by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and the Henry Luce Foundation for Increased Understanding of East and Southeast Asia. The Takeaway is produced by WNYC and Public Radio International in collaboration with The New York Times and WGBH Boston Public Radio.